Today on Chesapeake Shores, we talk about Connor gets a new suit, Kevin gets a new love interest, Bree gets a new bookshop. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We are here doing the Chesapeake Shores After Show.
Hello, Chessie.
Hello, Chessies. Season 2, Episode 3, Photographs and Memories. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. Joining me, I have...
Hi, I'm Stefan Lovegrove. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Lovegrove.
Dr. Lovegrove. Such a good episode. I think we got a lot of emotions out of this one. But real quick thoughts, Stefan, what did you think?
Well, Marissa called me out right before we went on the air and said she saw me crying on Twitter about this episode. I had not cried this season yet. I had been moved. There have been feelsy moments, but I had not cried in this season yet, and I just lost it at a moment which we will discuss in this episode. I thought it was such a good one.
Interesting. I'm curious to see what was your moment that made you feel such emotion to cry. We'll get there.
I'm not going to spoil it. You're going to have to stay tuned, listeners and viewers.
Yes, listeners. Hello, Chessies. Thank you for watching and listening. If you can't watch us because you burned your eyes out and your retinas out watching the solar eclipse today, which I hope you all enjoyed, if you did tune into that magical spectacle, we have our audio version also available on iTunes under AfterBuzz TV's Chesapeake Shores. We're available YouTube and iTunes. Everywhere in the world. Very, very excited to talk about this episode. Photographs and memories. Let's start with Abby. Abby and the girls, she's concerned that the girls, you know, their first new day on a new school and all that, new friends. Were you, like, did you understand where Abby was coming from with her concerns for her children?
Well, it surprised me a little bit. Not that she would be concerned. I mean, I think any parent has concern for their children. But things have been going so well in Chesapeake Shores, you know, for the girls, for the family as a whole, for Abby and Trace. So that moment when she dropped them off and she stood there and had this questioning of like, did I really do the right thing bringing them here? I was surprised at her level of questioning. And then, of course, when the girls come home and their first day was not so good, make me sad.
It did make me sad. I understand being that transfer student, because I was the transfer student when I was literally that age. When I was like 8, I transferred to a new school. So I understand from, you know, the child's perspective, like, hey, are they going to make friends on the first day? It's a rough transition. Transition can be tough.
But I do think she overemphasizes the first day, first impressions thing, because...
Smiling.
Well, you know, I have a dear friend right now has a first grader, so maybe a little younger, or, you know, right around the age of Abby's kids, and he just started out at a brand new school this week, actually, and I just think it's a little bit of an unrealistic expectation that they're going to come home from the first day and already have all these new friends and be settled in. I think it takes time, and I think, you know, I think first impressions do matter, but I think that might have put more pressure on the girls that they had to make friends right away.
Yeah. What were your thoughts of Trace actually, you know, welcoming them and actually giving him, you know, that boost of good luck on your first day? Did you like that?
Well, you know, they're still doing the mommy's friend thing.
Yeah.
As far as we're concerned. And I thought that that was stepping it up quite a bit. If he's still just supposed to be Abby's friend. I mean, I thought that that was stepping it up quite a bit. And then, of course, Wes shows up and the whole moment gets awkward.
I thought it was really sweet how Trace became, you know, somewhat sentimental. He seems like a very sentimental person. He gave the girls watches, the same type of watch that he gave Abby when they were younger. And I was like, oh, very, very sweet. But yeah, Wes's interaction with it. Did you think Wes is in the right space to have this concern, having Trace in the girls' life and in Abby's life, how that could affect them?
Marissa. it's such a hard question because... His point about Trace could go to Nashville at any moment is, I think, a very valid point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Barbara warned us last week. Shout out to Barbara. We're not gonna, I don't want to get in prematurely, but Barbara warned us that we needed to worry about Trace going back to Nashville. And so that exact point of concern, I think, is valid. However, we know their history. And so I do agree with what Trace says later in the episode. It's not really just about Nashville. It's about he doesn't like Trace coming into Abby's life or the girls' lives.
Okay. I like that you said that. I thought this was somewhat quite the double standard for Wes to say this, considering just a few months ago, it was his girlfriend, Gabrielle, who put that whole family into a tailspin, legality-wise.
That's true. And the show has moved, like, the show moves very quickly.
It does.
Overall. I mean, I felt like this week, we're going to have to make new predictions for the whole season, because the show moves so fast. So I honestly forgot about that, and I'm glad Abby brought it up to him. About, remember what your girlfriend put us through.
Exactly.
Because he really does not have room to talk about bringing a questionable adult mm-hmm. into the girls' lives.
So that's why I say it was such a double standard and ironic that he's the one bringing it up when the last person that he was singing and introduced that person into the girls' life could have literally thrown their family into legal issues. I don't think Trace is doing anything nefarious that could get it escalated to that point.
No, and I don't, you know, it's hard to see your ex with someone else in any capacity. Yes. I mean, that is the reality. If we saw the moment and he's just giving them these watches and it's very supportive and he's just being a good presence on their first day of school, but yeah. It's hard to see your ex in, you know, with someone new. It's just hard. And it is about Abby and Trace, and that's what it's really about.
It is. And, I understand Wes is concerned for that. I think it was also just inappropriate of how he approached it and the places of where he approached it. Sally's, that's a small town. It's a small diner. Everyone knows and everyone talks. So, again, not appropriate when to speak of something that is a personal issue.
Right. Well, The school moment was a little more justified, though it was still tense and unpleasant.
Yes.
The Sally's was just an embarrassment.
Yes.
That was just not a good moment for either of them. And I loved when she, like, the glass clatters, and then you suddenly realize everyone in Sally's is paying attention to this scene.
Yes, but that's the problem, because Wes is the one that looks... It made himself look bad in both of these situations, because we saw at Sally's that Trace just went up to, in a very civil way, just saying hi, and Wes is the one who escalated the situation.
Well, I don't think Trace is generally an escalator.
No,
I mean,
he's not a confrontational person.
Correct. And I think he's trying to be at peace with everybody in the dynamic in this situation, and suddenly... Maybe it's because Wes doesn't have a girlfriend to distract him. I don't know.
No.
But for whatever reason, Wes is deciding to be confrontational now.
Yeah. I think it is coming from insecurity on Wes's part, knowing that he had a certain life and he transitioned too because he moved to the Chesapeake Shores area. So maybe he's just not used to the transition.
Well, and you know, Cam in the live chat made a very good point and said, Wes clearly went overboard with his not liking Trace because, you know, Wes has already moved on. So if yeah. Wes can move on with his life and do that even with the girls, it's fair that Abby can move on with her life.
Very,
so I think
very
good fair. Point, Cam.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I completely agree. Let's talk about things that are moving forward as well. Trace and Lee, songwriting. First of all, do you still think Lee has a thing for Trace?
You know, it's funny. I was going to say with Trace, one thing I was very confirmed in how I felt last week, and one thing I felt like just completely changed. The thing I was confirmed with is that Lee still is in love with this man. Please,
yes.
In the live chat, let me know if you disagree or agree, but I am convinced that Lee still is in love with this man.
I agree. After both conversations that they had about, are we good? Where is this going? where this is just work career-wise, what's going to happen to us afterwards?
Well, it's getting to the point where they're not even able to work together in a professional way. Because remember, they were talking about the song, and she said, I think we should change it from 4-4 to 3-4. And he said, why do you want to make it a waltz? And she said, well, many of the best love songs have been waltzes. It's like, at this point, Lee is making it very difficult to even work professionally with Trace. She every conversation she turns into these subtle comments, and Trace is like, wait, are we still talking about the music?
Right.
She's either got to let it go, or Trace, if I was him, I would be very tempted by this solo offer that the commercial hinted is coming for him.
Oh, and we'll talk about the awesome preview for next week. But yes, I agree. After this episode, I completely believe that Lee still has strong feelings for Trace. Trace obviously does not reciprocate that. Respects Lee.
Do you think he's aware and he thinks that he can handle and control the situation, or do you think he's unaware? Because so many times people are in that situation where one person clearly still has feelings and they're living in oblivion of it.
Oh, I think he's definitely aware, because if he wasn't aware, he wouldn't bring up the questions. Are we good? You know, constantly asking those questions.
Well, at least he's figured out that something is off.
Yeah. Asking those questions to still, you know, draw the line of their status together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, what's their relationship, those boundaries within each other. So, yeah, I think he's very, very well aware. Because he does have to also actively always remind, I was going to call him Megan Ori, always remind Abby that Lee and him are not a thing. They are together.
But that's my point, is maybe he wouldn't have to constantly remind her and reassure her if there was actually not this dynamic of Lee trying to get them back together. Mm-hmm. I just think when you have to say something, it shows that there's a doubt. And right now, there's a doubt on Abby's part, and for good reason. And I say even more strongly than I did last week, I need this to get taken care of. Either Trace needs to put his foot down, Lee needs to move on, something needs to happen.
I think all the above.
Correct.
Abby still has doubts, but I truly believe that Trace understands what Lee feels towards him, but he puts the kibosh on it, so to speak.
Someone in the live chat, I may butcher your name, and I apologize. Please let me know if I do. But Janae said, Trace needs to be clear, and I don't think he has been. And that's what I'm saying I think he doesn't just need to ask, are we good? What a non-confrontational way. Are we good? Like, you need to call out, we are not getting back together, and we are only in a professional relationship, and do you accept that?
Yeah. I agree. Straightforward, to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Face-to-face, just like Mick always says, the best business is face-to-face. You know?
Now, speaking of Trace, can we talk about the Nashville thing?
Because yes. Let's. So their song that they wrote together, Free Fall, got picked up. They enjoy it. Could be successful as their first single for the album. But they have to go back to Nashville. Do you think this will cause issues, or is this good for them?
Well, okay, so last week, and if you missed last week, Chessie's, Barbara Nevin was here. You got to watch the episode or listen to it. But when Barbara was here, she said there's something very powerful about a shared dream.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was watching this episode last night, there was a moment that really scared me where, you know, there was the text on his phone and he showed Lee and they were talking about it and he lit up, and I was sitting there and I was like, he might really leave it all. And that makes me scared.
Lee Chesapeake Shores?
Well, right. Okay. Like, not that he's consciously in his mind thinking, I'm going to leave Chesapeake Shores and I'm going to leave Abby. But I was like, Barbara was right in kind of hinting at this warning that, like, that dream lit him up. And it scared me in terms of what is he willing to give up?
Mm-hmm.
Because that really makes it seem like the dream takes a number one. And I think that's the big question, is, like, what does take number one? And is it going to be Abby or is it going to be the Dream? Honestly, it makes me sad because he's been so focused on the club. And in that moment, yeah, exactly. I felt like he didn't even care about the club. I felt like it all went out the window. What did you think?
I didn't think so because more so they clearly laid it out for the audience to know that it's only a temporary situation. They only have to be in Nashville for a definitive amount of days, 3 days. So we know that there's a potential time they have to be there.
But if his career takes off, there's both studio recording and touring. And how does that work with the club? How does that work with Abby?
But that's the thing. Yes, he may have forgotten the club because he's working on the music now, but I don't think he's willing to give up the club because that's also a dream of his. That I think the dream that he's trying to chase in Nashville is a past dream, and the club that he's building right now in Chesapeake Shores is a present dream.
You know, I wish that I agreed with you and felt at peace about that. I was very startled. I thought he would at least be conflicted about, like, what is this going to entail and where is this going to lead? And I was just shocked at how much he just dove in first.
Maybe that will be covered in next episode. Maybe he does have
I'm sure we'll move miles
those
forward.
Those conflicts. Like, where he wants to stay, in Chesapeake Shores or in Nashville.
Lori in the chat says, we need the next episode, Team Travi. We need to see what takes number one.
Yes, hi, Lori.
And we do need to see what takes number one because I really don't know at this point. And I'm telling you, Barbara was warning us that we need to take this Nashville possibility seriously.
Well, something's definitely going to go down in Nashville. She definitely warned us about that. Something
cannot
is
wait.
Happening in Nashville, whether it be pivotal to the character of Trace and whatever he decides to do for the rest of the season, we have yet to see. That's in next week's episode. Or in the following episode.
Or in predictions. We'll get into it.
We'll see. But good things are so far right now. Good things are happening for Trace. So good for him. All right, let's talk about Connor. Not as many great things for him. His new job, very stoic, very lifeless. What were your thoughts of, one, his boss, and two, the fact that he has to get a new outfit just to fit to quote-unquote conformity?
Well, okay, first of all, let me just say I was so happy we got a bigger Connor storyline.
Yes.
Because, you know, I've been waiting, and I come in here every week and say we need more Connor. So I was happy about that. Thank you, Michael Burns, and everyone involved. Okay, I was very conflicted about this storyline, because I thought the moments with Nell were sweet, where she said, lucky for you, my specialty is adulthood. I thought that was very sweet. And he looks good in a suit, and I thought that was all cute. But here's my thing. Did you not feel uncomfortable in that whole scene, frankly, with his new boss that ended with the smiley face stress ball? And that line, Marissa, Chessies, did you cringe at this line with us? This line where he said something about the importance of conformity. I just wrote down conformity, frowny face, in my notes.
Yep.
So I'm very conflicted. What were your thoughts on this?
I agree with you because I wrote in my notes conformity plus some maybe expletive words about the boss. I did not like the boss. I don't like that mentality of, I get if you're working in a unit. Here at AfterBuzz, we have to wear AfterBuzz shirts. You know, there's uniformity. There's not conformity. I think the vocabulary of the environment is very choice in how people are productive. I think conformity is not the best approach to that place.
Not the best word.
No, it's not the best word. I get, but also it shows that they don't, it's that they're forced to be a certain way, not they can't be themselves.
I want to know, obviously this is a very niche profession, but I would love it if somebody in the comments, either on YouTube, live chat, iTunes, is a lawyer, is married to a lawyer, has a brother like Connor who's a lawyer. Because I'm really curious and I want to know, it just seemed so overboard to me. Like, is it really normal that they would say all, like, blacks and grays? The striped suit, okay, fine, whatever. But to act like a striped tie is such a transgression, I don't know. I'm an entrepreneur. There's a reason I'm not in corporate America, so I don't know. But to me, to come down that hard on a striped tie, I just don't know if that's even believable for a legal firm.
I had issues with this too, because color shows personality. That's just what it is in the world. That's a universal thing. Colors show people's personalities. And when you take that away, that this company has, no, everyone's in whites and blacks. And there's no color, there's no life. It's not a happy place. Did you see everybody else? No one was talking.
No
to
one
each
looks
other.
Friendly.
There's no life there. Connor's not going to be happy there.
Well, and it's interesting. Somebody said, what if he went through the interview with the DA? I don't think he would feel this way. What do you think?
The DA? Maybe.
Is that, that's what he, that was the job that he wanted, that he was so intimidated by everyone's resumes?
Yes.
I do feel like from the, again, this my vast legal knowledge, going off of the idea I have in my brain about a DA's office, I don't think they would be so uptight. I don't know. I just, again, I was conflicted about this whole thing because I was happy that Nell came through for him.
Yes.
But as Cam said in the comments, Connor is not a cookie cutter person. And so I don't like this definition of adulthood. I mean, look at us today at our grown-up jobs, Marissa. We're not in all black and gray suits and whatever. So I just think there's a broader...
Unlike that firm, we have personality here.
We have personality at AfterBuzz TV. I just think that this is a narrow definition of... Yes, thank you to our engineer. I just think that this is a narrow definition of adulthood, and I want Connor to grow up, and I've said that from episode one. Does he have to wear gray to grow up? I'm not sure. And do
charcoal?
I think he'll be happy with the conformity? No.
Literally charcoal. Lisa Colangelo says in the live chat, this is the price of working at a top law firm. It is as much conservatism as it is conformity.
Interesting.
Rules.
So, Lisa, you think the black and gray and all of that, you think that's consistent with what it is in real life? Let's see. Ariadne says, on Law & Order SVU, the male ADA wears the kind of ties Connor wore. Well, if it was on Law & Order, is law.
Well, shoot. But also,
I don't know about the real world. I don't know either.
I can understand a wardrobe policy. It's the way the boss went about it. And first of all, when you're hired, you usually go over wardrobe policy. Like, this is what you're expected to wear every single day. That's something that's covered. But since they didn't cover that, it's how they actually explained it. He didn't, the boss did it in a very condescending, patronizing way.
And
which
to, call,
also
the, to call the stress ball
a toy.
I don't know. You know how I feel about patronizing characters on this show. I didn't like it when it was Martin, and I don't like this boss.
Right. This boss needs a stress ball. He has some tension to release.
Poor
you
Connor
know what I mean.
Needed the stress ball for his first day of work. He certainly did.
And that's the one thing he was hiding, too. The only color that was in his cubicle. Did you notice that?
No.
The only color was from his stress ball.
Oh, from the stress ball. Right. No, because they didn't even have, I guess, family doesn't matter at this law firm. No pictures of your family. No anything.
See, there's no personality there. It's just work and nothing else. I have a prediction about that, too. All right. I did love one quick thing more about Connor. The quick, nice, sweet scenes with Nell. Nell in her adulting and how supportive she was of Connor during this. We see a lot of Nell and Connor scenes, and I really enjoy them.
Well, and it's interesting. Connor is in this weird place as an O'Brien sibling because he doesn't have quite as much pain with Megan as Jess does, although he clearly didn't have that good of a relationship, you know what I mean? Because it comes up every now and then. Like in this episode, I wrote down, he said, well, it's kind of hard when it stops. It's not a tradition when it stops
at
11 years old.
Yeah.
So he's in this weird place of, he doesn't have that much bitterness towards Megan, but I also don't think he's that close to Megan. Mm-hmm. And so I think Connor, whereas Kevin might go to Megan first, I think Connor goes to Nell first. And we love Nell, and I'm happy to watch any Nell moments.
Yes,
so.
I agree, because I think in season one, we had mentioned that Connor is more like his father, Mick, and Mick is very close to Nell. So it actually does make sense if Connor spends a lot of time with Nell as well.
Makes perfect sense.
Because it's like personalities.
Somebody pointed out just a fun fact. They said the actor who played his boss was on another Hallmark show, Cedar Cove, which some of you may remember. And they said, absolutely loved him there, not so much here, which I think is hilarious.
Okay. See, and that's the great thing with Hallmark. They keep it within the family. They use the same actors for
But it's funny to see somebody go from a likable character to a person we don't like so much. That's
well, you
fun.
Also know Barbara Niven was in Cedar Cove. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Barbara Hoop's a great show, you guys. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. It's available on iTunes and Amazon. Go. All right. After our after show, of course. All right. Let's talk about Kevin. Kevin and this firefighter woman. I called it. I called it. I called it.
You did called you? It. I give you all the credit for this prediction.
What did you think of their interaction at the flea market? Eggplant? How on the nose was that?
I have no words
I know.
For that moment. I loved that Bree was there to witness it. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was so playful and I loved watching it all play out. I loved Kevin being like, are you stalking me? And asking her about the wedding. And I was just dying.
I was laughing because an eggplant, you couldn't think of any other fruit. Vegetable for the scene. I get it. It was like really on the nose. Yeah, I just laughed. Sorry. Mind.
I thought that was a very little subtle moment for a Hallmark show.
Oh, that was so not subtle, but yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to tweet anything about eggplants. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not doing it.
Nope.
But you know what I was thinking about the whole time is Barbara's getting so many shout outs this episode, but I was thinking about her because she is great. And I was thinking about what she shared with us last week from her acting coach of it takes 3 seconds to fall in love and the rest is denial. Mm-hmm. And I just thought about denial, 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 watching Kevin in this episode.
Yep. I loved it though. But even at the end, although I did love their witty banter towards each other at the flea market, but even at the end when she came up to him and gave the phone number to him.
On the ticket. Yes. I loved what a clever way to give a phone number.
Illegal? I was like, everyone has bonfires. Are you kidding me? That was so nice.
Correct. Didn't they have bonfires in the beginning of this show? Or was it in their backyard rather than the
beach?
They
have a bonfire like every episode here.
I know. I was like, since when is the bonfire an issue in this show?
Yeah, that's... But, at that moment, I clearly was like, that's not a thing. She's giving her phone number. Sure enough, it was true. But I like her. I think she has a great personality that can evenly play opposite towards Kevin. And I think they might balance each other out very well.
I think so, too. And I actually, their dynamic back and forth is very like the couple that claims to hate each other that falls in love in a Hallmark movie. Like, they have that romantic comedy dynamic going on that makes me think they can be a great couple.
Yeah. I can't really say they're not so much opposites attract, but they are kind of like-minded, you know.
I love the competition of the back that happened over the eggplant, the back and forth about fire and police and army and was the building on fire? Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. I did like that. So they come from like the same type of mentality of serving others and helping each other. And I like that.
Okay.
Service.
People in the live chat are making, of course, the obvious comparison of her to Georgia. And I was going to say, I don't know if it's fair to compare them, but of course we're going to. I like her better than Georgia. What do you think?
I like her better than Georgia. I was going to ask, too, because now we know that Georgia and Kevin aren't talking anymore. They don't have a future. They didn't really have a present. And even Kevin brings that up. But sorry to say that we weren't the nicest to Georgia's character in season one on our after show. So it actually makes sense how they wrote Georgia off, because we even saw in season one, Kevin was very hesitant about that relationship. And it just makes sense that it would end this way. Unfortunately so.
Well,
but we knew it was going to happen. Do we feel bad about it? Not really. Not really.
You know, it's interesting. I thought Kevin was so insightful. That conversation with Bree about, I think we always talked about the future and just made it all about the future because the present wasn't good. And I certainly, I don't know why we just got a shot of the couch a few moments ago on the live show, but there's our couch, Chesapeake couch. But no,
that's
I...
That's not my bag.
No, that's mine. But anyway, no, but my point is, it's interesting because their relationship in the present was never very enjoyable. You know, I wasn't on the after show last season, but I was with you. I did not like their relationship. I did not like her.
She's not a very likable character.
No, it wasn't an enjoyable thing. And I just relate to that because I have personally been in a relationship where when you look back on it and you always see it in retrospect, mm-hmm. we made it about the future. And it wasn't that what was going on in the present was so good or healthy or wonderful, but it was always about this future. And I just thought that was very self-aware of them to recognize we just kept making it about the future and then it never was getting there. And I just like that Kevin is, even though he's still kind of in like a past, like, I've got to recover and let it go and I miss her way, he's able to enjoy this new crush in yeah. the present.
I agree. Sorry to say, Georgia, bye.
Lori but... says she needs to know more about Heather. I'm not saying that Kevin should walk down the aisle with Heather at this point. But...
Wait, is her name Heather? Because I looked up on IMDb that we didn't really get the fire woman's name.
I know,
but
and
it
I wasn't
says
sure.
It's Sarah.
Well, I saw that you said Sarah on Twitter. Maybe people can give us insight in the live chat. Is it Heather? Is it Sarah? Where do we get Heather from? Is Heather in the books?
It's Heather in the books. Which
Lisa says in the books, Georgia died and left Kevin with a young child. So yes, things could always be worse.
Oh, thank you. Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't read the books. Oh. Like I haven't.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm getting to them. But that's good insight to know. But we also know that the show does take a lot of creative liberties and things change, characters
change.
Well,
that never happened in the show.
It did not happen in the show. So because Georgia's gone and they never actually started a family in the show itself means that we could probably start another family. And now I'm really jumping ahead with this firefighter woman.
Lori says, okay, Sarah works.
Okay.
What? Okay, someone else said I'm pretty sure. I mean, I was fine with Heather. Lori, I think that she looks like a Heather. But if IMDb says Sarah, we'll go with Sarah.
I'm going to go with IMDb because they know so much more information than I do. Okay. I like this woman. She can stay. I think
I know.
It's going to be...
It's one of my favorite little budding storylines.
A good thing to watch. Another budding storyline that I actually really enjoy because I am a book lover as well. Bree and the wordplay, the bookshop. It's going out of business. She wants to save it. And sure enough, she does. Do you like this?
She takes over the lease. Well, two things. One, I loved the way that the whole death of the written word thing. I mean, like, very melodramatic, but very O'Brien way to handle things. But I loved the way that that was kind of a metaphor, and she was processing the bookshop going out of business mm-hmm. with Kevin processing this whole things and people
bonfire.
That we thought would be here forever. So I loved the way they used that double metaphor. And, you know, if Jess can decide to plan a wedding and pull it off, then everybody's biting off perhaps more than we thought they could chew. Why can't Bree take over a bookstore?
I mean, it's great. I worked in a library, which is kind of like a bookstore, but with different aspects of it. Libraries and bookstores are great. I love being in them.
Okay,
and Bree's character would totally love being in it.
Update from the live chat. So Heather was from the books, Lisa says. Lori knows the books well, too. But Lisa did confirm the character's name in the show appears to be Sarah Mercer, played by Jessica Tsipras.
Yes.
So there you go.
Got it. So we're going to go with Sarah.
The fans of
our after show
truly come through with the info.
Thank you, Lisa and Lori. You're fantastic. All right. I'm excited for Bree to take over the wordplay because now she actually has a space to write to. She surrounded herself with books. It is so the right fit for her. It just makes sense. And she's home. It's right down the street from everything that she knows and loves. And Sally's is right there. I mean, why not?
I just love that the O'Brien family cannot help themselves from developing things.
I know.
We have the older generation and their land. We have the bed and breakfast now. We have the bookstore. It's like they have this development gene in them.
I thought the exact same thing. And even Trace, by extension, is building the club. Everyone's just building
this new
businesses.
This is like a very entrepreneurial show, yeah, awkwardly enough.
Just businesses everywhere. And I love that. Good for them. Good for them. I like this. I can't wait to see where it's going to go with Bree. It gives her, because we saw all of season one, she was like losing kind of her, not really her passion, but like just that drive to, and her focus on writing. But now it just seems like she's got it back. And what to do with it, but also now own a bookstore. Like, everything's in the cards for her.
We didn't know what was next for her.
Yeah.
Because remember last week we were trying to make predictions, and I thought originally that she might be in Chicago longer. Well, we saw how that panned out. So now that she's back from Chicago, she needed something to do. I think this is a great storyline for her.
Yep. I agree too. I'm really excited. I love books. Speaking of books, we also had the Cheryl Woods, you know, the In at Eagle Point. For those who don't know, that's actually the very first Chesapeake Shores book of the series that started it all. And I actually have it with me. I have it. I haven't read it yet. I'm a busy woman. I'm getting to it. But the In at Eagle Point, the new name that Megan wants to rename the B&B for Jess. Did you like this situation, those two again, still together, working through their issues?
Well, so I was watching all of those scenes, thinking about the conversation from last week, obviously, and this idea of looking for the baby steps. And I thought it was funny, you know, when Meg was like, is that a yes? And Jess said, it's a fine whatever. And I thought that was one of those moments of like, at this point, Megan will take a fine whatever. Mm-hmm. Because
compared to a straight no.
Well, right. And because she gets to spend time with her daughter. And how bad do you think Jess felt when she found out actually Megan doesn't know anything that she's talking about, and she's done this all on her own and put in all this work to learn the stuff just for Jess?
I'm glad that Jess should feel bad. I mean, Megan is the one who's making the effort, and Jess is the one, rightfully so, on the defense. But again, and it's really unfortunate because I'm getting really tired of Jess's, I don't want to say brattiness, but she's a grown adult woman. I understand she's upset and hurt, but this very childish type of demeanor that she has towards Megan, it's old. It's tired. I get it.
The busy excuse. I just, of all things, like, I'm sorry, I realized I have things to do today. It's just, I don't know. It's just kind of tired. I agree. Tired is a good word for it. I don't know. Here's my question. So there are people in the live chat and have been consistently this season chatting and commenting who are standing up for Jess and acknowledging you can't get over pain from something in your childhood overnight. And I agree. But also when Jess said it's too forced and it's not real, I just, you know, my question for Jess would be, what would make it real? Because particularly when we found out that Megan called Abby's IT department and has been getting all of these books and studying overtime for all of this, I don't know what Jess wants Megan to do that wouldn't feel forced. I think at this point, Jess is just like, stay away from me. Everything else would feel forced. So I agree with Lori in the chat. It's time for Jess to forgive and make some effort too. And yes. What I would say to people like Ivan in the chat, yes, Megan left. But the issue is, I do believe people have the power of decision to make new choices now. And what happened when the kids were 11 or whatever age, I just think it really sucks if that has to be atoned for 30, 40, 50 more years. Mm-hmm. I agree. It's horrible that a parent leaves. Even if they feel like they're doing the best thing for the kids at the time. But I just don't know. I don't think it's fair that Megan has to endlessly atone for that. And I don't know what would make Jess feel like it was real.
Yeah, and it's unfair that Megan's the only one putting effort into it. Yes, Jess is more tolerable of Megan now, but Megan is the one actively going out of her way and doing these things. And she's already proven that she wants to make right. But Jess has not put the effort into also making things right. And this relationship has to work both ways. Right now, it's only one way. And that's why it's still not working, because Jess is so on the defensive. I think she just needs to work at that point of forgiveness. And once forgiveness happens, everything else can follow.
Yeah, I don't know if we... Is this on the same point, technically, to get into the end moment at which the episode ended? And yes. Then it went to the executive producer, Dan Paulson, as I'm sitting there bawling my eyes out, Marissa.
Let's preface this. At the beginning of the episode, this is a great bookend, too. But at the beginning of the episode, we had the back-to-school childhood videos of all
Well,
the
let's
kids.
Talk about the childhood videos before we get to the very final one.
Exactly. We're prefacing this. So all the childhood videos I really thought was sweet, but you could see the and hear the slow progression of the relationships of all the kids and Megan, where they are at. You saw Abby, definitely.
Connor was hysterical.
Connor, King Connor. I feel like all the kids definitely had those same personalities as kids than they do as adults. I saw that, but there were, did you notice Kevin's? When Megan asked Kevin in the video, Megan was crying. And you can understand at this point that Mick and Megan's relationship probably were not good. And that's the age of where this was probably the last, like one of the last, if not the last year that Megan recorded these videos for all the kids. So this is where the relationship was on rocky grounds.
You know what's interesting is... when we go back and watch the footage, I feel like so many of those little clips that we saw are where the kids are now. Not in that exact form, obviously not at that age. It's just interesting to me because, you know, I know as a coach, so much of our pain, so much of our issues come back to what happened when we were kids. And last week I sat here and said, how long has Kevin had this pattern of feeling like he has to come through and help Megan out? And we found out tonight, looking at the footage, when he was a little kid, she asked him, what do you want to be when he grows up? And he's like, whatever I can be that will help you.
Like, I'm like, oh my goodness.
It's just clear the pain has been in the family for a long time. And some of these patterns have been in the family for a long time, too. And it broke my heart for Kevin to see that and to realize he's been in this position for years.
Yeah. And it also paints the picture of where these kids were when they were younger and how much they knew about what was actually going behind scenes with the relationship of Megan and Mick. Because we saw Abby, it didn't seem like it really bothered her that much, but we had Kevin was old enough to understand that something was obviously visibly wrong with Megan, and we had, we had Connor, and Jess didn't seem like they knew. So we saw the kids, even at that young age, of like how much they could gauge where their relationship was with the mother and the father at that time.
Yeah, it's funny. So much, I feel like, of what we asked for last week, we got. Not that they, like, produced the episode since we did the show last week. It's just funny how they really have led us down through this season very beautifully. And we've wanted to see what was it like for them growing up and what were the kids' perspectives and where were they all at. And we started to see that with the home videos, for sure.
Now seeing Jess's home video, because she left too prematurely that night to see her own home video and where she was. What did you think of Jess as a little kid? And now, what do you think of the relationship of Jess and Megan after knowing this?
Well, that was the episode, or that was the moment where I just broke down. First of all, whenever I see other people cry, it makes me more likely to cry myself. I don't have to cry, but it makes me more likely. But I broke down. And, you know, I just relate to it because sometimes, even though the other person is in the wrong, even though there's so much pain, even though you're having trouble to forgive, the deepest truth is that you know how much you still love them. And sometimes when you're having trouble forgiving, it even makes you mad. It's like, I don't want to love this person. They hurt me and I'm not comfortable with how much I love this person. And I watched that and I just related to Jess. And I was like, Jess has so much anger and hurt. But I think deep down, even through that, she knows how much she loves her mom. And she's always loved her mom that much. And that can be the hardest part. And it just resonated with me. It was such a moving scene.
Yeah. And it says a lot when even little Jess was like, I want to be just like you. And it hurts even more knowing that they are so similar. And she was so hurt by her own mother leaving that, I mean, that's like astronomical for a kid. When like your idol leaves you. So I can understand Jess's pain. I get it. Yeah, but Megan's making up for it, or at least she's trying to.
Well, and I mean, that is the debate. People in the chat think Megan isn't acknowledging that she left. I don't know.
She definitely is acknowledging it. She's always saying, like, I know I left you. I know you're angry. I know you're hurt. But I am here now. You can't dwell on the past because you can't
and I don't
have a future if you're dwelling on the past.
I don't want her to walk into every scene and be like, hello, Jess. I'm sorry that I left.
Yeah, right.
I think she has apologized. Anyway, my point is, I just felt for Jess. She clearly knows how similar they really are deep down. She clearly knows how much she loves her deep down. And she just hurts. And I get it.
She hurts. But I think them working together, still working through the issues, is going to be a long-winded thing. But I'm okay with watching this progression, knowing that at one point, they were so similar. And I just hope they get back to that point. You know? I'm really excited. Great things. Anything else about this episode that you love? Favorite moments?
I thought it was an interesting dynamic of Mick talking to his dad in the cemetery.
Oh, yes.
That was... I don't know. The Mick-Thomas standoff is not that interesting to me, but I do think it's interesting to see Mick in a different light, not just as a busy dad or whatever in the business mode, but to see him in terms of his own pain, his own fear, his own doubt about, I think, his parenting even. You know, when Thomas asked him, is that what you've done with your life? Build responsibly. I think that struck a nerve. Mm-hmm. Struck a chord, whatever the expression
is.
Yes,
definitely struck something.
And honestly, so Lisa said, and I think a couple other people have touched on this in the comments, it's hard to judge Megan because you don't know why she left. That's true. I already have sympathy for Megan because I do think she's trying, and we still haven't even heard her side.
Yes.
So the only other thing I have to say about this episode, I loved it ending with the bonfire and this theme of burning the old to make way for the new. You know, I actually thought it was so fitting because today, at the time of our live recording, was the big solar eclipse and a new moon. And for literally thousands and thousands of years, many civilizations have considered that like a fresh start and a new moment to have a clean slate in your life. And so I just thought, what a beautiful theme to end the episode on, of making way for the new. And I hope that Jess and Megan are able to do that along with Kevin and his romance, etc., etc.
Yes, I completely agree. I hope that Mick and Thomas can like figure out something because there's still a lot of tension and animosity there. And they have the same rights and same beliefs about this trust, but for completely different reasons, of which we have yet to find a standstill truce between those two. And it'll be interesting to see how that actually plays out.
They just remind me of older relatives fighting.
Yeah, older
Someone in the chat figuring. Is like, it's not that interesting to me either.
It's honestly, not to sound terrible either, it's not that interesting to me either. I almost forgot to talk about it.
Yeah, well, it just reminds me of being a little kid and being at a family reunion and the older relatives are arguing about something and you could care less.
Yeah, I could care less. Well, we'll see how this actually affects the family and the town if they go through with this development and the trust. So it could actually affect a lot of people if this goes through. All right, let's get to predictions then.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Ooh.
The best part.
All right, Stefan. Go. We saw that preview with Trace. They want him a solo act. Do you think he will go with this?
You know, I don't feel like they're going to get rid of Lee for drama's sake. So I would personally, what I would like predictions is for him to go solo, to part ways with Lee, and et cetera. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I don't know about Trace. I think that this Lee situation is going to continue to be a problem until he does something to deal with it. I do think we're going to see more of Kevin and Sarah, and I'm rooting for it. People in the chat yes. wanted us to address Connor. Clearly has a... Oh, Lisa says it's a family drama and the older demographic loves those two actors, so that's why we have the Mick and Thomas storyline. Good thought, Lisa. That's probably yes. true.
And Gregory Harrison has been on other Hallmark movies and yes, series.
Very much so.
So he's a very beloved actor.
So yeah, I think we're going to see more with Kevin and Sarah. I think Connor's going to get a romantic storyline, as people pointed out in the theme song, has given us a preview of that already. Mm-hmm. I feel like I had one more prediction.
Okay. Well, while you're thinking
about it. You go ahead, because I don't remember.
I think Connor's not going to stay at the for long, because he can't be himself there. He's already not happy. He's in some shape or form, he's probably going to quit or get fired. Something, he's not going to be there long. So I'm not too worried about him. He needs to be in a place where he's actually happy doing. Because he's even telling his nieces, you don't want to be an attorney. Like, he's not happy with what he's doing right now.
Right.
Until he finds a place where he is happy. I think, Trace the solo act. I think he's going to go for the solo act. But also, that would require him to stay in Nashville. And I think I predicted in the first episode that somehow his career, he's going to choose his career right now over Abby. And maybe this could be a long-winded. At the end of this season, somehow Trace and Abby are actually separated.
I think, you know, it's interesting. So you guys can all weigh in the comments. I agree with Marissa that that's very possible. But Lisa just said in the live chat, I think Abby and Trace are solid. So weigh in. We think that they're solid in the end.
Solid now.
But not... The one last thing I have to say is... I keep blanking out. I had such a good question. Never mind. I don't know.
Well,
sorry.
It'll come to you, but put it on Twitter.
I know.
Speaking of Twitter, where can everyone keep following you, Stefan?
Dr. Lovegrove on Twitter and Instagram, DrLoveGrove. Come say hi.
Excellent. I so love that Twitter handle. It's great. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media platforms at AfterBuzzTV. Keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing. We have more episodes to talk about and a lot more drama to look forward to. Thank you, Chessies, for tuning in this week and every week. You guys are great. We will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.